Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, so everyone, welcome to another episode here of Gamer Tag Radio, and this was random because I was honestly
always random with us, bro.
Actually, let me fix my camera here. I can zoom in a little bit here. There you go. All right, so I was not planning to do this at all. I was just like, hey, let me just release Reggie's interview, and that's it for the week. But I think this is a cool and a great conversation for somebody that's from the outside of GTR, and I want this person to ask me questions about it because he already listened to the episode with Reggie for our 16th anniversary. And plus, it's cool. I think I've never heard. Have you ever interviewed me before? I don't think so, Tony. But this is Tony Polanco from Throwdown Show podcast. Yeah. Make sure to follow them, throwdownshow.com.
Yeah. By the way, I actually did interview, this was years ago, right? When the first episode we had you on Throwdown, I kind of just asked you about your career and everything. And then I kind of sort of interviewed you in our one-off thing we were doing at Bryant Park. It like, we were going to talk about Game Pass, and then it just became me asking you questions
about
it.
Yeah, I forgot. Yeah.
Right. So it was an interview, a proper interview, but it kind of was. But yeah, Danny and I, as always, we're just talking and stuff, and we're like, you know, we're just talking about the whole Reggie thing, and I'll tell you guys my thoughts on it in a bit.
Yeah.
But he was like, yo, we should just record it. So I'm like, all right, let's do it like an interview. Mm-hmm. So the whole purpose is that I heard the thing. Danny thankfully sent me like I'm going to call it an advanced screening, even though it's just the link to the video, right? And I was floored, guys. Like, you know, I'm not just blowing smoke up Danny's butt here. Like, this was so good because I've never heard Reggie be interviewed like this. So, right now I'm going to ask Danny some questions behind the scenes stuff because I'm just curious about it as an industry professional myself. Like, how did you get Reggie? How did you get him to open up like that? It's incredible. So let's take it far back to the beginning because during the interview, you said you've been trying to get Reggie on GTR for years. So when was the first time you like reached out to his people to try to get him on the show?
Oh man, I think this was like 10 years ago. I've been trying to get him on for a while. This is when, during the Wii U days, Wii days, 3DS, DS days, like around that time, I always wanted to get him on just to talk about beyond Nintendo. Like, you know, I always been super curious about him, and I knew he was from New York. So plus a person of color, you know, in the industry. And I want to hear his story because I want to inspire others, man. You know, it wasn't about like getting the latest news about Nintendo, because I know Nintendo's super strict about who could be on certain podcasts or certain sites for like interviews. So I tried for years. And there was even one time when we were part of CBS Radio that I did a whole presentation, and I did a PowerPoint presentation. I sent it to the agency that also works for Nintendo, and they got really close. Like, even the higher-ups got it, and after a while, they declined too. I think they were not sure about podcasts at that time, even though they launched a podcast years later, which I don't get it. But anyways, they just didn't get it, the whole podcast at all. So one day, this was like right after we released the episode, the 1,000th episode of Gamertag Radio last year. And I randomly just posted on Twitter saying like, one of my goals, I have two people that I would love to have on our podcast. One is Bill Gates, because I have a long history with him. And the other person is Reggie Fils-Aimé. And he replied and said, let's make it happen. That was a year ago. So originally, we wanted to do it in person in New York. But this is like pre-COVID, you know, and COVID happened, quarantine happened, that we couldn't really do the interview. So that's what happened. That's what happened with my story with about how I got Reggie. But we've been talking for like a year. On and off.
Oh,
Yeah. And I hit him up a couple months ago. Hey, Reggie, you know, we're about to hit the 16th anniversary of Gamer Tag Radio. I think you will be the perfect person to have to celebrate our 16th anniversary. And he was like, let's do it. You know, his schedule is crazy. So I had to like work something out, and we managed to agree, and we made it happen after that, man. So it was cool. We did the interview, and here's, a lot of people don't know about this, but we did our interview, and we were talking offline for like a while, just normal stuff, like not even about gaming. Look, he's a human being, you know, and a lot of people don't, people only will see him as like the Nintendo guy, and that's it, which is cool. But we were talking about all kinds of stuff, man. Like, just, you know, it was a great conversation, man. I liked it overall, man.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that, because that's like a perfect segue, because one of the things that I really enjoyed about the interview was the fact that you made Reggie sound, not you, but he came off like very human, very affable, which is something, you know, he doesn't really come across as, you know, most of the time. He just comes off like a kind of like a business guy. Like, he's just there to talk about business and all that. So it was really cool. And I'm saying this right now as a New Yorker myself, right? Hearing those New York stories when he was a kid, how he went to, you know, get the newspaper for his dad, and him and his brother got robbed for 50 cents, you know, back in the day. So I'm like, yeah, that's some real New York stuff. They're going to bodegas and stuff. So it was really cool hearing that. And then also, even though obviously you did bring up the Nintendo thing, I liked how you asked him how it felt to be at Nintendo during these times, not just how was the success, none of that stuff that everybody asked, right? You were asking them, how did you feel about it? And, you know, and hearing his response was really cool. So what did you think about that? Like his presentation, were you a little bit jarred going, yo, this is kind of not the same Reggie I'm used to seeing at these big press conferences and stuff. Like, how was that talking to him as a man, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. You know what? I knew that. Now that he wasn't working at Nintendo, I knew that he was going to open up a lot more because he's not working there at Nintendo. So that was one. Number two, it was my goal to always ask regular questions that is not the typical Nintendo, hey, Nintendo this, and hey, Reggie, how's Nintendo? Like, I didn't want to ask questions like that at all. Maybe one or two, yeah. I think will be cool because it is part of his career, so it was okay to ask those questions. But I love that he was straight up saying to me about the challenges, the debates, the arguments he had with his team, Nintendo of Japan. Like, and he was like, look, I was right. I told you I was right. Like, those things was dope because we never get to hear that. We hear the success stories about Nintendo, but we don't get to hear the behind the scenes, especially from someone like him being a person of color. He is like the first person of color in gaming that was like president of a major gaming company. There is no other out there. He's the first one to manage to do that. So I wanted to talk about that stuff. Like, how was it managing a major well-known gaming company? And he said that when he took over, Dan, he was like, Danny, straight up, GameCube Wii U wasn't doing good. GameCube wasn't doing that great. Like, it was a challenge for him. It was a challenge for him to help Nintendo even to grow even more, man. And then I right there, I asked him, like, were you surprised that the Switch was going to be a big hit? And he's like, yeah. He said that he got goosebumps the first time he saw it and actually played it. You know, so we talked about that. I also mentioned to him our favorite moments, you know, since he joined Nintendo. I told him one of my favorite moments was trying out the 3DS for the first time, because I was like, nah, this can't 3D without glasses. There's no way. How? You know, and he mentioned, yeah. Like, he mentioned that. He mentioned a bunch of cool other stuff, like my body is ready, like all that, you know, all the memes, you know what I'm saying? So it was cool hearing this from him, man. It was really, really dope. I knew he was going to open up. And I think I asked him the right questions about that.
Yeah. And then out of everything that you guys talked about, you know, you just named a bunch of it right now. What was, I guess, the most surprising thing? You're like, oh, I wasn't expecting him to say anything like that, you know, from your questions. Like, what was the most surprising thing that came out of the interview?
Oof. Two. One was when I asked him, how was it growing up in New York City as a kid, you know, in the Bronx? Because, back in the days, New York was not safe. Back in the early days. So I was just curious. Like, I want to hear from his side, like, how was it growing up in the Bronx? And I had no idea he was going to say that he got mugged. Him and his brother got mugged for 50 cents. I had no idea he was going to say that. I was like, oh, shit, this is, you know. And then I also mentioned to him that I went through the same situation. You know, like, you know, I'm not going to mention the name of the person, but I sent it to another friend of mine from the gaming industry. He said that he loved the interview. And he goes, Danny, I also got mugged. He meant, like, I think that's going to relate to a lot of people, especially New Yorkers. They're going to say, oh, either I got mugged or a family member or a friend. Like, oh, yeah, they could relate to that, you know? So that was really cool. Second was when I asked him about his thoughts about E3 coming back as a digital event. Like, is it going to work or not? And he was like, he was not feeling it. Like, I didn't know he was going to do that. And third one, which I think was the most important one for me, because I want people to see that from the outside too, more of this, instead of console wars BS, was him just telling, hey, look, every few times a year I'll go and I'll meet with execs from different companies and we'll go out to eat, we talk, and we talk about, like, things that we should do in the industry or stuff that the industry needs. Like, that was really cool, I think, him bringing that up.
Yeah, for sure. And then speaking about, you know, what the industry needs, right? You guys got into a really good conversation about, you know, diversity, right? But I like the direction he took it, because, you know, when we talk about diversity, we usually talking about skin colors and stuff, cultures. He was like, no, it needs to be that, but also just different type. Instead of looking in the same places for people, look a little bit outside of that. He told that one story about a woman that he worked with, executive, like, she got even higher than he did, you know, and she was coming from an area where it was, nobody would even think to look, you know. So I think that's very important to, you know, talk about when you talk about diversity. It's not just about, you know, your ethnicity and all that. It's about bringing people who you may not think fit that role to, you know, test them out. So that was really dope. And then the whole thing with him, and I was thinking about this as I was on an interview, obviously when we saw Reggie for years, you could tell he was not a white guy, right? But no one ever talked about that, really. It wasn't until, like, he brought it up, like, last year, we were like, oh, he actually said it, that he's Haitian, you know? So, you know, what was that like, talking to, like, a top executive, Phil Spencer level, you know, guy that's one of us?
Yeah, I think it's important. I want people to hear that from him, from that conversation. Especially, I brought up the story that I went to Dominican Republic, and one of the things that a lot of people in Dominican Republic were bringing up to me was they feel left out. There's no resources. There's no workshops, no conferences for them to make better games. They're depending 100% the internet. 100%. Like, I know people that learn English because of YouTube. I know people that learn how to create games because of YouTube or Google, Google search, you know, blog posts and all that. And I wanted to bring that up to him because I bet there's people in Haiti that probably are going through the same situation, that are very talented, but they're not getting no support at all. So that's why I brought up about the charity that he has with Harold, the New York City Gaming Circle.
New York Video Game Critics Circle.
Critics Circle, yes.
Yeah, that was, we didn't get to talk to him that night, but we attended their usual meeting last year before COVID, mm-hmm. and we saw Reggie talking about it. It was dope. But yeah, so he got together with Harold. That was a really good segment. I like how he brought that together, and he was talking about how he wants people from, like originally it was like, hey, let's get people from the Bronx, kids from the Bronx to get into gaming development. But now he's taking it global. He's taking that approach. Mm-hmm. And then obviously you brought up the fact that not only people in Dominican Republic, where we're from, but also Haiti, which is the same island, for you guys who don't know, how they're trying to get in there. So that's really good that Reggie is thinking about that, you know. And I think guys like me and you, we need to spotlight that some more. It's like, yo, there's developers and gamers from all around the world that may not have the same opportunities, and we should mm-hmm. try to get them into the conversation, you know.
Yeah, no, that's what I brought up during the conversation, like, hey, do you plan to do anything international? I think that would be cool, even if it's a video sending out to developers, let's say in Dominican Republic or Haiti or any other countries. That's just like, it's like saying, we're I'm here for you here. Like, I'm trying to support you from far away. Like, there's different ways to support. You don't have to attend events, but a little video, just giving them a shout out. It's like, it will energize the community. Like, man, we want to do more. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I brought that up. to see where his thoughts. But and he told me straight up, like, he would love to be on the podcast again. Like, he just loved the conversation, you know. And I'm excited. I'm just curious because we're recording this before the episode is even out yet, you know.
Yeah, so, it's not out yet. Yeah.
So I'm curious to hear what the audience are going to say about it, you know, because it took me 10 years, man, and I never gave up. I kept on contacting different people from different places. Like, I always will find a way how to get this, whoever the person I want, you know. I try my best to work hard and never give up, you know what I'm saying? So it was cool, and I'm happy that I did it on my own. And the reason, originally I wanted the whole crew because I wanted P and Paris too, because we all have great questions, but scheduling and everything. But I'm happy that I did it on my own because he means a lot to me, like as a person of color. Plus, we're in the same island, Dominicans and Haitians. You know, like I wanted to ask questions from him from that point of view of like, yo, we're brothers and sisters. Let's talk. And like, from New York, you know, my dad's from the Bronx. Like, this is a lot of story, you know. Like, that's why I'm happy that I did it alone with him, the conversation, you know. And it was great. I think it was dope, really, really dope overall, man. You know, and it's crazy. For sure. Even Paris said, like, yo, you got this. Like, even Paris said, like, it's gonna be a dope conversation, I think, you know. So it was cool.
Yeah, and like I said, we're recording this before it goes live, but I told Danny this, you know, cause, you know, Danny and I, we talk all the time, and I was like, and again, I'm not being like facetious here. Mm-hmm. This was the best interview you ever did. And again, just because of the fact that we've never seen Reggie presented like this, right? Like the Phil Spencer interview did, fantastic interview, but it was the kind of interview, like, or the answers I would expect him to give, you know? Reggie, he's not a Nintendo no more. And given the questions you asked him, he was able to go to different places, you know, mm-hmm. and you could even see it, like his expressions, like he was really happy to answer these type of questions. And even some of them, you know, he paused for a little bit thinking about it, like, oh, I never been asked that before. How do I go about that? Mm-hmm. So it was really cool, man. And for me, one of the highlights, and I want to get your thoughts on this too, right? Me personally, besides the fact that I'm like, wow, I could actually relate to this guy now. He's talking about New York and Haitian and all that, but I like the fact, and it's very important, right? You asked them about that moment during the Game Awards. I'm forgetting what year it was, where he was on stage. It was him. It was Phil Spencer and Sean Layton, right? They were all three together, right? Unified, right? And that's something that a lot of people, you know, because we're on Twitter all the time. There's always battles and stuff. People don't seem to understand. It's like, yes, there is a competition going on, but these guys are not fighting each other behind the scenes. They're all friends. They all know each other. They all talk to each other, as Reggie said during the interview. So what was your take on that? Like, him opening up about the fact that, yeah, I mean, you and I already knew this, but just him telling you directly, like, yo, we talk all the time. And executives talk all the time. We're always in meetings together. To us, it's a competition, but it's not a war. What was your take on that when he gave you, because it was a good chunk he went in on that about.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was important. I think, because look, we go to events all the time. I go to a lot of industry parties or industry mixer, I think you would call it, you know, where you see all of them hanging out. Sometimes I'll be at the Xbox booth waiting for me to go to an appointment, and I see Reggie or someone from an exec from PlayStation going to Xbox, and you see them hanging out talking with like Phil and Aaron Greenberg, just talking, and they take them to a tour and let them play these games early, because the industry needs that. It's not one of those, like, hey, it's like a gang. If I see you, we're going to jump you. Like, it's not, you know, people treat it as that. It's cool too. Don't get me wrong. Everybody's going to have their favorite console, which is fine, you know, but when it comes to a level where people are just like, attacking someone just because they like a console or fanboy crap, you know, I think that's ridiculous, you know. So when I asked that question to Reggie about him being on stage, and that I, as a fan of gaming, I would love to execs or even people from different companies just to get together and show that publicly, to show that there's unity in the industry, and we don't get to see that, you know. That's why I give props to Jeff Keighley for doing that, man, because I know Jeff wanted to do that for a long time, but I don't know if you noticed during the interview, Reggie was like, oh, man, there was some stuff. I mean, I can't say. I'd rather let Jeff, because I heard this is, I just heard this from somewhere else. I can't remember exactly where, but it was not easy to make that happen. It was because, you know, politics, promoting a company, you know, there was reasons for it that it didn't work out for a while. But having them three together for the first time, I think we need to see more of that so they could, so the gamers, the consumers see that there's unity, man. It's not like we're against each other or not. Like I've been on Clubhouse with Paris, because Aaron Greenberg does this with Jeff and Paris, me, and a couple other people. We just get together at Clubhouse, just talk about things that's going on in the gaming industry. You know, every Tuesday night we get together and just talk. It's not no for PR stuff. It's not like to like promote stuff. No, we're there just talking, and it's cool. We're there. And you see, oh, I'm the marketing person. I work at PlayStation. Hey, I work for so-and-so. Like, everybody's there together, and they know each other. You know, like, it was cool seeing Aaron and the other person. I forgot his name. Sorry. That he always works at PlayStation. They were both talking about MLB The Show, how excited they are. Like, it's coming out for Xbox, and it's going to be also on PlayStation. Like, it was cool seeing that. Like, it was dope. It was really, really dope. So, I think I did the right move for asking that question to Reggie, because I want it from him. He's very influential. So hearing him saying those things, and I know Phil Spencer has been really vocal about this. I think that I'm not saying I'm going to change everybody, but I think it will open up a lot of people's eyes. Like, oh, damn. Okay. Because they've never probably heard this from Reggie. I've never heard this from Reggie at all.
No, first time. Never.
You know what I'm saying? So it was cool. It was cool that I managed to do that, man. And that I'm glad that he answered that question, too.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, because he could have easily just said, I can't talk about it. But he went in. He went in on that question, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you asked that, too, because Nintendo always seems like they're off on their own, doing their own thing. Like, even though Sony and Microsoft are competitors, you could tell they're in the same boat together. Like, they always seem kind of off. So it was cool to hear that Nintendo has always been there with these guys, always talking, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just going back to Reggie a little bit, I was thinking, like, what is your sense of, like, after you talk to him, like, of Reggie Fils-Aimé the person? Like, what is something that you were like, oh, I've never really thought about him in that light? Like, was there anything that got you from talking to him, you know, that gave you like a different like perspective on who he is as a man?
Yo, he's one of us, man. One of us from the Bronx, from New York, from Haiti. Like, he's one of us. Like, it was cool to having that conversation with him. Like, honestly, when I booked the interview, he never asked, like, oh, let's do it for 30 minutes or like I only have a time limit. He never even mentioned that at all. He was like, all right, just tell me what time, let's work this out, blah, 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 and that's it. I could have continued the conversation if I wanted to. I know it was like a good 47, 50 minutes or so. I could have kept on going. He never told me to stop. And we stopped the conversation, we stopped the recording, and we still kept on talking about other stuff. So I just love that he was very humble about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he enjoyed the conversation. He liked it. He liked the questions. It was different. It wasn't, you know, I know a lot of people were asking me to say this because I saw the tweets like, oh, Danny, ask him about the GameStop situation. Robin, I'm like, I'm not, why? People care so much about the whatever is hot at the moment, you know? No, I'd rather ask him questions that I could see this, that I could last forever. Like, it never is going to get old. Like, I can see this in 5 years. People go, oh man, I listened to Danny's interview with Reggie. Oh man, still relevant to this day. Like, it never gets old. But when it's something that's news, yeah, it'll be hot for like a whole week and that's it. Like, you know what I'm trying to say? So, yeah. Like, I'd rather ask questions like that than nobody else is asking. Like, when we talked to Phil Spencer last year, it's the same thing. Like, still to this day, there's websites that are taking our audio and posting articles all year long last year. And still in 2021, just yesterday, I saw an article from Wired talking about that interview. And that, to me, is important because as a content creator, we're thinking so much about the clicks of the moment. Let's talk about like how long this content can last instead of just a week. You know what I'm trying to say? So that's the thing that I love about that conversation I had with Reggie.
Yeah, no, and I did like the fact that it was a very evergreen type of thing. You'll hear the only thing I gave it away was obviously you were talking about the, you know, the COVID situation. That's literally the only thing. Other than that, you can listen to it in 10, 15 years and it'll still be relevant because you weren't really asking too much about, oh, what's happening right now, this moment. You were asking him about the man and his experience as a Nintendo. So that was really good, man. And like I said, your best interview so far, man. I really loved it. And I like the fact that, you know, and you're like a natural with this. You know, you ask these questions that are very probing and deep, but then after that, you let them talk, and that's that, you know, which is always very important. But I do want to, you know, wrap this up here with this because I'm curious, right? Yeah. This is kind of related to the Reggie thing, but a little bit beyond it, right? Because you did this interview for your 16th anniversary, right? What's that been like, man? Like, think about it. This is a year after the Phil Spencer. That was 15 years, right? Big, huge thing. Now you're celebrating 16 years of GTR. So what's that been like, knowing that every year you know, the show keeps elevating, you keep growing yourself as a human being and stuff? Like, what's that all been like, man?
It's been good. I think 2020 was the best year for us overall as content creators. Yeah, we're in like a bad situation, right? But I think when it comes to like us creating content and opportunities, was our best one yet. And for those who are listening, there is no excuse. If we're locked up in like in their apartment, can't even go out. No, this should be a motivation for us to work harder. We have internet. We could just try different ways to get opportunities as contact so-and-so, you know, like, I attended so many virtual events last year, beyond crazy. I did so much video. I did a lot of interviews. I did, my God, I got the Xbox Series X a month before it came out. Like, we were like in the first group of people that got it, you know, like, that to me was something special to me for like, even during a really rough time. But at the same time, I wanted to challenge myself, like, okay, how can I do better than the previous year? 2019 was a great year for us. 2020 was a better year. You know, 2021, I just started. Actually, I ended last year with my biggest interview ever, was with Keanu Reeves. And that was the only gaming journalist to interview him right before the launch of Cyberpunk 2077, right? And everybody else that interviewed him was like NPR, CNN, major media outlets, but it's like non-gaming, right? BBC, all that stuff, right? So I did it for Telemundo, but I did it in English and also did it in Spanish. So the English version, I put it on a podcast, you know, so like it was one of the biggest things I've ever done. I had no idea that was going to happen, you know what I'm saying? So doing that, and now just this month, I did multiple interviews. Like, I feel like I'm just mastering. Like, I'm a master with my craft, and I'm getting better on doing it, right? So I'm going to continue doing this. I know that throughout the years, it's never been perfect, but I just – having the right people that's part of your team helps a lot. You know, having Pete and Paris – just us three for like a very long time. Before that was Mandy and David, and like Jonathan, a bunch of other people, Miss Irie, that they were my brother too, that were part of GTR. They moved on, but I never gave up and I kept on going, man, you know? And, you know, being the first gaming podcast in history to hit 1,000 episodes, there's none out there. You can look it up. That's history.
That's right, yeah.
We get big interviews. You know, now we're focusing a little bit more on video, which is cool. We're doing good, but the audio is doing fantastic. So, like, it's doing crazy download numbers and everything. And I feel like I'm mastering, like, I'm getting better and better and better. And I know this is not going to be the last big opportunity that's coming up for us. Like, I know there's going to be bigger ones in the future, you know. So I'm happy that I did it for the 16th anniversary with Reggie. And I know there's going to be bigger ones in the future, man. I appreciate, you know, that he say yes, man. You know, it's not easy. Yeah. It wasn't easy. 10 years trying to get Reggie on the show.
That's perseverance right there, bro. Like, you really kept it going, you know, like just trying. So that's a good thing. And I want to kind of segue that back to Reggie, right? Because, you know, like you said, right now we, you know, we've been locked down for a year now, but I have noticed that even regular folks, they have nothing to do. And what did they start doing? They started doing their podcasts and stuff, and it worked out great, right? So it goes to show you, just like Reggie, he started, you know, from very humble beginnings, right? And look where he got now, right? So, you know, if Reggie could do it, if we could do it, going where we are, you could do it too. So I think that's a good, to me, that's kind of like a good like message that Gamertag Radio puts out there. It's like, where'd you start from, Danny? You started from New York, Florida, Dominican Republic, you know, very humble, you know, on a tape recorder and all that. And, you know, now you're up there interviewing Reggie, Phil Spencer, all these guys, year 17, who knows who you're going to get? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to get bigger and bigger. So I'm glad that, you know, we are out there specifically, like, you know, guys who, like, you know, people of color, people who came from humble beginnings, showing everybody that, yo, you could do this too as long as you stick with it. Danny, he's been trying to get Reggie for 10 years. He just said it right now. He never stopped, and look what happened. So that's a very good life lesson, man. And I'm glad you got that interview, and I'm pretty sure you're going to talk to him again, because very inspirational. Even as a content creator, I'm watching him, like, yo, that's dope. How do I do that? And then, Danny, you know, just keep it real, just personal. You know, you've had helped me grow too. I've been doing this forever, but like the things you've been teaching me, I'm growing up there. You know, if you guys could, you know, it's not actually, it's up right now. Yeah, my accessibility article I did, that was because Danny and I were chilling one day drinking at Bryant Park, just talking, you know, and it just elevates it. And then because of that, you know, me being on GTR, other people have heard me, and now they're blowing up because I'm inspiring them. So it's a circle. You know what I'm saying? And that's something that we need to remember. And Reggie teaches that too. It's like, he was at Nintendo, but he was talking to these guys, and now he inspired other people. And then, you know, we inspire each other. So that's what it's really all about in the end. And I hope people focus more on that than all this negativity and stuff. We get caught up in it too. Don't get me wrong, but you know, we're all here to try to make things better for one another. And that's ultimately what I got from that interview. Is like, yeah, man, you know, if you have the passion for it, because Reggie is a passionate gamer. Don't mistake it. He is very passionate about it. So just to see that where he got now, man, and then the fact that you worked so hard to get him, it's a beautiful story, man.
Yeah, and I just love, too, how I ended. I think that was, like, the perfect way I ended. So this is what I've been doing for the past couple of years now. When I feel that I have someone that is very important and has done a lot in the gaming industry that contribute big time, it's good that now that they're alive, thank them. And also mention, what is it you want people to remember as, like, 100 years from now? Like, you know, everybody's going to have their own way how to answer that. Like, I think one of the first people that asked that was Major Nelson. And I feel like he doesn't get a lot of props, but he was the first person that actually did the whole podcasting and digital content for gaming companies. Not as an independent. I'm talking about, like, working for a major corporation. And he changed the game for that. Like, he was the first one. Then you see other gaming companies doing the same exact thing. You know, because they saw, hey, it worked for Xbox and this and this and that, right? And he doesn't get a lot of props, man. He's been doing it, like, I started doing it before him with GTR, right? But he started at a time where nobody was doing that. Nobody. So I asked him that question, and I heard this from different people. And even him, he told me this. He's like, Danny, this is one of the best interviews I ever had in my career. You know, that I don't do this because of clicks. I do this because I just love conversations. This is why I always say this. There's this difference between having a conversation with someone than an interview. An interview is more like, hey, we have this, you know, exclusive. But a conversation, I feel like when you do that with someone, they open up a lot more, man. You know, we did this years ago. We went to the first time fall event, preview event, right before it came out. It was a bunch of YouTubers. This is the first time actually where Paris and I realized, like, yo, we need to step up our game. Like, these are a bunch of people doing videos, and we're podcasters. We're dinosaurs. We have to change.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And we changed after that, right? But here's one cool thing that a lot of people don't know. We sat down with Vince Appella and his team at Respawn to talk about Timefall. And we had to wait. There was a bunch of YouTubers interviewing him and others. And it was cool. But you could tell, like, a lot of them were really uncomfortable because YouTubers were, like, doing all this, like, doing this this joke and comedy, like that, you know, and they were not comfortable with that. You could tell, right?
Yeah.
So when they sat down with us, no cameras, it was just mics, and we were just talking. And the next day, I heard from the EA team, PR team, saying that was one of the best interviews I've ever had during that time to promote Titanfall. Because they opened up, we would just wanted to have a conversation. And I think that's what I want to do more of, that of just sit down, have a conversation, because I think people will open up a lot more to talk about different things, not only about their jobs, but about their life, man. Because a lot of us, we don't get to hear that often. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah,
it was cool. Sorry for that answer, but you know what I'm saying?
I mean, that's what we do on our podcast. We talk, you know, and I'm glad you say that, because I've never thought about it like, you know, like internally, but I've been doing that since day one. Like my first interview, like, cause it was kind of, it was just off the cuff of New York Comic Con 2013. Mm-hmm. It was, I didn't have any questions, but I had a couple of little things, but I didn't know the developer. Right.
Yeah.
And we just started talking like normal guys. And I'm like, I'm going to keep doing all my interviews like this. Don't get me wrong. Like when I go in an interview, I have some questions prepared in my head.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I just go with the flow, man, because sometimes they'll say something. I'm like, that's kind of interesting. Let me go down that route. Mm-hmm. And Danny, I get that every time, man, either directly from them or the day afterwards. Like, yo, that was the best interview I did, because I'm not having it. I don't interview nobody right now. I'm not interviewing you. I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
You know, talking, and exactly. You have that same thing with Reggie. It was just, you guys were just chilling, you know, like we all love Jeff Keighley, obviously, but you can tell he interviews people, right? He is a fantastic interviewer. Danny and I were conversationalists, you know. We have a conversation with you, and that gets people more open, you know. Just like the Vincent Pella thing. Yeah.
You want to hear something crazy?
What's up?
I had nothing written down for the Reggie interview. Zero.
Yeah.
Nothing. No question. Like, I knew I was gonna ask him about the New York, growing up in New York. Everything else was just at the moment. I had nothing written down, and people might not believe it, but whatever. Like, but it was dope. It was dope. I can't wait. I can't wait for other stuff that might be happening in the future. You know, and now I cross it off already from my bucket list. I already got Reggie. Hopefully, we'll come back again. But now I'm trying to get Bill Gates on the show. That will be the ultimate thing for me if I manage to do that. You know, like a true story,
that would be huge.
True story. I never mentioned this to people, but I almost had Eminem on our show years ago. This is like a long time ago. So, you know, I've been talking to his PR team from the record label, and they loved the idea. They were like, oh, this is something new, it's different. He has never done interviews, you know, gaming, this and this and that. And the only reason why they said no, his manager said no, because that's when they started changing. Like, you know what? He's not doing a lot of interviews. Might do like one or two, and that's it. Only with like a chosen few will get an interview with Eminem, and that's it. But yeah, I almost had Eminem on a show. A lot of people don't know that, man. You know, and again, I try to think outside of the box of people that want to have on a show. And the reason why I want to have him on a show, because a lot of people don't know this too, is he loves old school games, man. Like, he has arcades, like Donkey Kong, Pac-Man. Like, he has that at his house, old school arcades. And one day he just posted a picture like, hey, look at my high score of like him playing Donkey Kong. And I wanted to interview him about how was it growing up, you know, before music. And I also wanted to ask him about gaming. He worked on the DJ Hero game and with Jay-Z. And like, you know, so it was going to be a cool interview, but yeah, it never happened, man. That would have been freaking sick. Oh my god.
Yeah, well, you never know, man. It may happen, you know. But and I'm glad, you know, you brought that up, because like, he is not like the typical gaming person you would interview, and that would have been awesome. And then you did do that with Keanu Reeves. Even he was like, "Yo, this was the best interview I did," because he's so used to these like, you know, like bigger publications, like you said, you know, Entertainment Weekly or whatever. You're just a regular guy doing your thing, you know, and that comes off. And that's why that Reggie interview was so cool, because again, Reggie, he could tell, he's like, yo, Danny's a dope dude. Let me just be myself.
Yeah. You know, I have to mention about something, man, about that. So
yeah,
I was done And minutes later, I got an email from his team. And they said that was his favorite interview that he's done the whole time for Cyberpunk. And the reason, I'm not trying to compare, because everybody's going to have their own style, right? But when you listen to my interview with him, and you listen to like CNN, CNN was more like, they didn't know about games, they know about Keanu Reeves, movies, you know. I was just like being a fan, but also I was excited for Cyberpunk. And one question that I asked that nobody asked him, nobody, was how was it from that moment being on stage at the Xbox press conference, seeing everybody just going crazy? Because that was like, that was one of those like top gaming E3 moments. Like I'll put it up there with all time. Like I'll put it up there with like when an announcement of Smash, or like the when PlayStation said $399, like the price of the console. Like I put it up there. Like that was one of the biggest highlights, you know. So when I asked him how was it, yo, you could tell like he got shy. Like he was like excited. Like he was so happy to talk about that, you know. And I think that moment was super dope to me, man. Like, not that many people can say, like, yo, I interviewed Keanu Reeves and asked him this. And, like, it was one of my best moments for me, like, since I started the podcast, man, you know? So it was dope. It was dope.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. All right, I think this is a good time to end it. But just one last thing. You know, obviously, you know, we're doing this after the fact, so we don't know the reaction. So what do you hope people will take away from this interview with Reggie? Like, when they listen to it, when they finish it, when they digest it, like, what do you want them to take away from that interview?
I want them to be inspired, man. I want them to be inspired. Like, when he brought up that he got mugged for 50 cents back in the days in the Bronx in New York, and he just started climbing up, doing, you know, bigger things in the industry. Not gaming. I'm talking about industry overall. He worked in Procter & Gamble. He worked in Viacom. He worked on so-and-so, right? And then started working at Nintendo. And then he became president of Nintendo of America. Like, I want people to be inspired, because, like, if he could do it, you could do it too. And at the same time, I want people to see, like, yo, he's human. He's a human being. You know, I just want you guys to be inspired, man, to do bigger things, man. That's what I want. I want them to also remember, like, how much he contributed in the gaming industry too, man. You know, and say thank you to him, you know, because I think what he's doing now, like, doing a lot of charity work now, because he wants the next generation to do bigger things in the future. I want people to be inspired too, man, to help our community, man, and help those that don't have the resources to start creating content or writing a blog, or, you know, trying to say, like, I want people to just help others, man, and just do bigger things, man. That's what I want, to just people be inspired from the whole interview and everything, man, to do bigger things in the future. We'll see.
Yeah, no, that's good. And again, I got that sense. So I'm pretty sure everybody who will hear it and has heard it will get that too, man. So I want to say congrats to getting that, Danny, and thank you for that great interview, and thank you for letting me interview right now. I'm gonna hand the show over to you right now. Danny, thank you for being on. I'm like, hold on, this is his show, not my show.
I did that on purpose, because I really I love the way how you do interviews. So I'm like, I want Tony to ask me a question. I had no idea what he was gonna ask me anyways. Like, I knew he was gonna be about the show.
Either. It just went off.
we were just planning just to talk on Discord, then they were like, yo, let's record this, you know, whatever. So I think it was good. All right, everyone, thank you for listening to Tony interview me about my interview with Reggie, the 16th year of Gamertag Radio. And actually, back in January 25th, I turned 20 years now as a content creator, 20 years this past January. Amazing. So I just want to mention that real quick. Bigger things coming up later this year. We'll see. But anyways, thank you for listening. Make sure to listen to the podcast at gamertagradio.com. You could find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Once you find us, make sure to follow us, subscribe, and share with your friends. If you see the review on Apple Podcasts, post it. It will help us out a lot. And if you would like to be part of our fan mail episode, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Tony, very quick, mention your Twitter, and also if people want to listen to one of my favorite shows, Throwdown, man. Go for it.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, you can find me on Twitter at RomuDeth. That's R-O-M-U-D-E-T-H. And in the bio, you'll see links to every place I write for, Laptop Mag, PC Mag, Tom's Guide. And also you could check me out on Throwdown. That's at Throwdown Show. We're on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube at Throwdown Show, two words, Throwdown Show. And we go live every single Thursday and Sunday night at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. Thursday is when we cover all the big gaming news of the week, and Sunday is when we answer your questions. So make sure you follow us on those platforms. We're literally on every podcast app on the planet, even some podcast apps I've never heard of. We're on everything. So you will find us, you know, and listen to us. And Danny, again, obviously, you know, thank you for having me on, and we're going to have you back on the show. And now that you live in the West Coast, we have you on, you're not going to be tired. It's going to be great.
Yeah, exactly. No, the crazy part,
every time Danny's been on Thor, he's always been tired.
Because here's the thing. Every time he interviews me to be on the show, I've done like multiple stuff that whole day, like interviews, or I was on TV shows or whatever, like the news outlet. And then I'm like, all right, let me go to the Throwdown Show. And I'm like exhausted. I'm like, oh my God, I don't know how I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, but the funny thing is you always pull it off. It's like you can't tell. Like, you always hit me up afterwards, like, yo, was I too tired? I'm like, no, it was great. The fellas loved it. You know?
But, nobody knows. Yeah.
Nobody knows. It's fantastic. So we'll have you on. And, you know, I want to shout out to the Gamertag Radio fans out there.
Yeah.
Some of you guys are listening to my show now, which is cool, keeping the conversation going.
Yeah.
And also, I keep forgetting this. Check out the Throwdown Discord. That's all linked. Throwdownshow.com. Everything's there. I love the Discord conversation. A lot of guys from Gamertag Radio are in there.
Oh, there too.
I heard about you from PTR.
So that's dope.
It's dope, man. It's dope, man.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Until next time, we'll be back here. Gamertag Radio. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.